If you're an amateur radio operator and you believe in the American Readout movement, contact us today to find out how you can join the American Readout Radio Operators Network.
You're listening to Radio Free Readout, the voice of the American Readout.
Radio Free Readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
This is the voice of the American Readout. You just tuned in to Radio Free Readout, and I'm John Jacob Schmidt, your host tonight. Thank you so much for being with us on this 22nd day of January 2012. You're listening to episode 12-3, which is the third episode of 2012. And that air raid siren that you hear at the beginning of each show, that is a reminder that there is danger looming. That is a warning sound of imminent danger, and it's a prompt. It is a call to action to take refuge. And that's what we are promoting right now, the refuge and the safe haven of the American Redoubt region. Welcome, fellow patriots, preppers, and redoubters. It is great to have you with us tonight. And of course, the difference between a prepper and a redoubter is that a prepper plans for the disaster, but a redoubter thinks, plans, and prepares to a finish. Not just the disaster, but for the rebuilding afterward. Of course, the American Redoubt is the movement that's growing. It's being joined by lovers of liberty from all over the place, across the country and beyond. It's a demographic shifting of God-fearing patriots who want to preserve Americanism, even if just as a remnant, to move to a geographical region that we call the American Redoubt. That's already happening, but we're formalizing it. We're increasing the numbers of like-minded people into a region. Also, several of you, speaking of that, are moving to the American Redoubt, and one of you just closed on your property last week. Another one is closing next week, so congratulations. Both of those are moving to Idaho, and we also have several that are moving throughout the different places in, let's see, we got Eastern Washington moving over from the coast. We have Montana. There is a couple people that are moving from Colorado, the Californicated region that they're moving from, into Wyoming. So congratulations. Now, also, I just wanted to let you know that all of you who are joining the American Readout Network, I haven't gotten a chance to upload everyone's information. Actually, I got one left. So Rick007, yours is being processed. And so just be patient. We'll be getting that welcome letter out to you really soon. Now, this show topic, you may have seen that it was changed from the EMP threat to a commo check. And that's what today is. It's a commo check. Now, what is a commo check? We've done it a few times before. Usually it's about a 30 or 40 minute broadcast. I'll try to keep it to about 30 minutes. And it serves several purposes. Because I had a really heavier than usual schedule this week. And on top of that, we got slammed with multiple snowstorms, all subsequent, one right after the other. And besides getting myself unburied and shoveled out, I also had to take care of the next door neighbor elderly lady. And so between doing that and my schedule, I fell behind on my research material that I have a lot of to sift through for the EMP threat, which also ties into the cyber threat. But I might just leave that as a separate topic because both of them can be so, there's so much information around both of those. But definitely we are moving the EMP threat episode to next week. And so thank you for your grace and for your patience. But what we do when something like this, when life happens, and I'm not able to put together the show on the level that I really think that you deserve, I'll put that off. But we will always be on the air every Sunday evening, short of some natural disaster or something that's beyond our control. As long as the internet is up, we will be here for you. So because we have to make sure that we maintain a consistent, dependable presence. I mean, you showed up, so should we. Plus, there's a lot of valuable information to cover. There's announcements, there's issues, and we want to be a source for regular encouragement to you. I mean, you offer regular encouragement to us, to me in particular. And having done this for the last 8 months, we've developed some relationships. And I know, you know, some of you being on that end, being on the listening end, you get to the point where you feel like you really know me intimately. And some of you I've gotten to know on a personal level, and it's been a great experience. So when I don't show up, if I can't show up, then you feel like you're missing out, and I feel like I'm missing out. So I always want to try to be here. Now, there are several things I want to talk about when we come back, including the news. So stick around. It's so good to be with you all tonight. So stay right there. Don't touch that mouse. This is the John Jacob Schmidt Show, broadcasting from the heart of the American Redoubt.
Hi, this is Evelyn with a communication tip in a minute from Radio Free Redoubt. An AMRON volunteer relay is the valuable link between different types of communications. Someone with an FRS radio, for example, can't hear valuable information being transmitted by someone else on a CB radio. The relay is that link, with at least two separate types of radios. The most effective AMRON relay volunteers are those who can link ham operators with non-ham operators. If you're a relay, you should set a goal to have, at a minimum, a receiver capable of monitoring HF, which is high frequency, also known as shortwave, or a scanner for monitoring UHF and VHF traffic. This has been a public service announcement to support the CH3 Project and AMRON, the American Readout Radio Operators Network.
You're listening to Radio Free Readout, the voice of the American Readout.
This is Matt Shea with your daily news commentary, the way I see it. It was a wonderful 4th of July, honoring the sacrifices of those who gave us a chance at freedom 233 years ago. Which is why I want to tell you the story of the deciding vote for independence, a hero by the name of Caesar Rodney. Caesar Rodney was a Delaware delegate to the Continental Congress in 1776. After debating for months about independence, the president, John Hancock, called for a vote on July 1st. Those present decided that the vote would have to be unanimous, all colonies voting for the declaration. The tally of that first vote was 9-4, 2 against, 1 abstaining, and 1 tie. Delaware had one delegate for and one delegate against. John Hancock decided that they would have one more vote just after lunch the following day. If the vote failed, they would all go home. Anticipating another Delaware split, an express rider was dispatched to Dover to fetch Caesar Rodney. The rider arrived just after midnight. Caesar got dressed and saddled his horse for the 70-mile ride to Philadelphia. On a normal day, this would have been a difficult ride, but that night was especially treacherous. A massive thunderstorm turned the dirt road into a quagmire, and Caesar arrived in Philadelphia just after 1 p.m., covered head to toe in mud and so weak from the journey, two men had to carry him into Independence Hall. The vote had already started, with 11 colonies voting for independence, New York abstaining, and Delaware again split. As Caesar Rodney was carried through the door, John Hancock looked up and asked, "Mr. Rodney, how do you vote?" Very quietly, he replied, "It is the sentiments of my countrymen for independence, so I vote aye for independence." But the story continues. Caesar Rodney was suffering from a disfiguring cancer of the jaw and knew that by casting a yes vote, the English would immediately invade, crushing any hope of seeing a doctor in England. He consciously decided to lay down his life for his country. Would we sacrifice our lives for freedom? What kind of patriots are we? We should be like Caesar Rodney. At least, That's the way I see it. This is Matt Shea. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back to the voice of the American Redoubt. No matter where you are, we hope that we're able to be a voice of hope in a world becoming increasingly full of despair. If you're a redoubter at heart, trapped behind the lines in occupied territory, or if you're deep within the American Redoubt already, have hope. It's frustrating to see your country crumbling, to see your heritage vanishing, and not knowing what the future holds for your country. When you see the enemies within intentionally weakening and bringing to ruin the most amazing nation to ever exist. But that's the message here, the message of hope. There is a safe haven and refuge, or at least a place that patriots are trying to turn into what one day we hope and pray will become a refuge and safe haven from the communist, socialist, globalist, statist, anti-American values agenda. And that's the Inland Pacific Northwest, mountain states of Montana, Wyoming, Idaho, Eastern Oregon, and Eastern Washington. I call it, you call it, the American Redoubt. My name is your name too, obviously. This isn't about one or two or three guys anymore. This is a growing movement. Every one of you, you are John Jacob Schmidt, aren't you? Now, we took a poll this week because somebody informed me that they were struggling with, there's a business that is looking at advertising on Radio Free Redoubt. And it's right in line with something. It would be a service that would benefit redoubters, especially those involved in the AMRON project and radio relays. But the person said that the one thing they're concerned about is the fact that it takes so long for Radio Free Redoubt to load. And sometimes it takes several minutes, and a lot of times he just, you know, would give up and just check it on the weekends. And I'd never heard that before from anyone. Nobody's ever given me feedback saying, hey, your site takes so long to load that really I can only, you know, visit your site once a week. And now for me, it loads up immediately. The Stream Monster loads, takes about 3 seconds, but usually the blog just blam as soon as I click on it. So I started asking around some people that I know personally, and then I decided to post the poll, which several of you have participated in, and thank you very much for those of you who have taken it. The feedback's really important because there's things that I don't realize. And what I found out was the Stream Monster player and the Amazon.com sliding banner, the Podbean player, those are all Flash player based. What do you call them? Applications that take a little bit longer to load, just, you know, a couple seconds. And so what that poll indicated to me, and plus the feedback that I've gotten from several of you, that it's opening up pretty much almost immediately for everyone with just a couple seconds for the other stuff. Some of you are taking up to about 30 seconds to load, but still you don't seem to have a problem with it. It doesn't keep you away. And a couple of you do not. Now, I talked to some folks who know more about this than I do. And what they said was because these are Flash player-based applications, that there's nothing wrong with Radio Free Redoubt. It is the individual, those of you who are having a difficult time loading, you need to update your Flash players. That's the word that I'm getting back. And there's only, you know, just a few people that are having a difficult time with it. And it's usually because your Flash players are not getting updated, so you have the most current Flash player. So anyway, there you go. One other thing on that note, the Stream Monster player, for many of you that are listening live, now the Podbean player, when you listen to the podcast during the week, doesn't seem to be a problem at all. But the Stream Monster player will time out in anywhere from 60 to 80 minutes. It'll just freeze up and stop playing. You just hit your refresh button and it immediately starts playing. I don't know why it does that. I'm going to look into that to find out if there's some type of timeout feature that I can adjust or what. So I will look into that. So anyway, all of that nonsense to the side, we now have the news, news and commentary of stories that could affect you living in the American Redoubt or out there in occupied territory. This first story brings us to the... Oh, this is a good one. This was first brought to my attention over from a link that was sent to me from Chuck Baldwin's site. And the Barack Obama administration is quietly in the process of rigging the use of the U.S. Census of 2010 information, which deliberately counted millions of illegal aliens for the purpose of restructuring the apportionment of the U.S. House of Representatives. And what's happened is the U.S. Census Bureau erroneously claims that it is, quote, required by the U.S. Constitution to count everyone living in this country, regardless of immigration or citizenship status. So accordingly, they have counted millions of illegal aliens in the 2010 census and are using those figures to apportion the U.S. House of Representatives. And if this egregious misinterpretation of the Constitution is allowed to stand, five states, including Louisiana, Missouri, Montana, North Carolina, and Ohio, will lose representation in the U.S. Congress to which they are lawfully entitled. Now, there are three states, California, Texas, and Florida, that will be awarded additional representation in the U.S. Congress to which they are not lawfully entitled, if they count the illegal immigrant population. And of course, this will also directly impact the makeup of the Electoral College, which ultimately elects the president. So now some good news, though, coming out of this in the courts. Right out the gate, you got lawsuits that are addressing this. And from the Texas Redoubt, Texans, stand up. The Supreme Court there has already smacked down the attempted reshifting. So that's good news. Out of Washington, the Supreme Court on Friday threw out electoral maps drawn by federal judges in Texas that favored minorities. That's tricky. The unsigned opinion left the fate of Texas's April primaries unclear. What they didn't write in was illegal immigrants. They replaced it with minorities. So basically, I guess that leaves the opportunity wide open for them to declare you a racist if you're opposed to counting people who are not legal residents. That's good. Okay. In the American Redoubt, also, the Idaho Supreme Court overturned a controversial plan to redraw the state's legislative districts Tuesday, ordering the commission that made it to adopt a new district map that more closely follows the state and U.S. constitutions. So basically, the judge said, go back and follow the Constitution. And he crumpled up and threw away their pretty little map that they remade. Twin Falls County Prosecutor Grant Loebs filed a petition on behalf of four Idaho counties and four cities in November, arguing that it wasn't necessary to split up so many counties to create 35 legislative districts of roughly equal population. And this is another attempt to try to shift that demographic shift and appeal to the illegal immigrant demographic and change the elections. So, here's some great news from Congress. And of course, this is newsworthy because great news from Congress usually doesn't happen very often. So this is newsworthy. The Senate version of the House's SOPA, the Stop Online Piracy Act bill, called PIPA, was also shot down this week. It didn't pass. So victory. Essentially, it's a censorship bill, and it failed. PIPA stands for the Protect IP, that's Intellectual Property Act. Just like the healthcare, just like every other socialist program and control status type of measure that these guys are trying to push through, we may have won this battle because of so many of you putting pressure on your elected officials. They rejected the SOPA and the PIPA, depending on whether you're in the House or the Senate. They had this basically the same bill, two different names attached to it, and it was defeated. And this was an internet censorship bill. However, you know it will be back, so watch for it, and don't be watching for PIPA and SOPA. You know they're going to repackage it. They're going to change the name. They're going to slide it through when you're looking somewhere else, some sporting event or some other major distraction, and they're going to slip it through on a weekend when all of you are sleeping. So be very careful of that. Health plans ordered to cover birth control without co-pays. Now, most health care plans will be required to cover birth control without charging co-pays or deductibles starting August 1st, the Obama administration announced Friday. And the final regulation retains the approach federal health officials proposed last summer, despite the deluge of complaints from religious groups and congressional Republicans that's poured in since then. Thanks to all of you. And one piece of this, though, churches and synagogues and other houses of worship are exempt from the requirement, but religious-affiliated hospitals and universities only get a one-year delay. So they have to comply by August 1st of 2013. So speaking of Big Brother, this one is really going to get you. New York Police Department Commissioner Ray Kelly told CBS in New York, his department is looking to deploy terahertz imaging detection scanners on the streets in the, get this, war on illegal guns. And of course, we know that our government is expert at carrying out war against illegal guns by selling them directly to the cartels. So, well, that should be easy enough since almost all guns are illegal in New York anyway. And if that makes you feel safer, New York, you get the government you want and you get the laws you deserve, right? So that's what you get in socialist New York. For those of you patriots that are trapped there, the barbed wire is not strung yet. You can get out. You can make it to the American Redoubt. Kelly said the scanners would be used in reasonably suspicious circumstances. Of course, he doesn't define what a reasonably suspicious circumstance is. He says it's intended to cut down on the number of stop and frisks on the street. So-called stop and frisks are considered a violation of the Fourth Amendment. So scanning people on the streets isn't a violation of the Fourth Amendment. You better believe it is. It's a search without a warrant. Only you can get away with it because no one can complain if they don't know you're searching them, right? So these guys are sneaky. Now, New York City is a largely Second Amendment-free zone. The city's mayor, Michael Bloomberg, said that the citizens acting outside of any governmental military effort should not be allowed to protect themselves with firearms. Interesting. And also, for those of you who don't know it, the New York Police Department and Department of Defense are working together, testing terahertz imaging direction, detection. So they want to get concealed illegal weapons off the streets. Of course, in New York, all concealed weapons are illegal unless you are military or law enforcement. So let's see here. You know what? When the time comes, these things will be banned in the American Redoubt. When that tipping point happens, we're going to ban them. Banned. And the use of any of these by any government agency without a warrant should be a felony. And it will be if I have anything to do about it. Okay, we got a propaganda alert from the good old dependable USA Today. Here's the headline. Higher abortion rates where procedure is illegal. So the abortion rates are higher in countries where the procedure is illegal, and nearly half of all abortions worldwide are unsafe, with the vast majority in developing countries, a new study concludes. About 47,000 women died from unsafe abortions in 2008, and another 8.5 million women had serious medical complications. Almost all unsafe abortions were in developing countries, where family planning and contraceptive programs have mostly leveled off. Gilda Segg, a senior researcher at the U.S.-based Guttmacher Institute said an abortion is actually a very simple and safe procedure. What? Safer for who? A child dies every single time, you idiot. That's safer? All of these deaths and complications are easily avoidable, said Seg, the study's lead author. You better believe they're unavoidable. Just like you said, all of these deaths are avoidable. Of course, in this twisted piece of propaganda, they don't mention the fact that the numbers of complications from so-called safe abortions, like the ones in America, are astronomical. What an insane world we're living in. All right, let's change the subject. You know, there was an article that came out from KBCI TV in Boise, and the headline says, "Are Californians the root of Idaho's evils?" It says, you know, to click on the link, but the story isn't there. Click on the link to read the full story, but it's not there. This is all they give you. For years, there has been rumblings, grumblings, and not so thinly veiled suggestions that Californians should stay out of Idaho. But are folks from the Golden State really the root of Idaho's evils? That's it. That's the whole article. And you go to click on the link and it's the rest of it's not there. But I can answer that question. Are Californians the root of Idaho's evils? Here's the answer. No. Heck no. There are tons of patriots moving to the American Redoubt from California. The root of Idaho's or any other state in the Redoubt evil, or the root of Idaho's I'm getting tongue twisted here. The root of Idaho's or any other states in the Redoubt's evils is socialism, communism, statism, globalism, and yes, sometimes Californication, but not Californians. There are more patriots in California than in Idaho, I'll tell you that. Of course, that's because the population in California is about 15 times greater than Idaho. They're outnumbered, but there's a lot of them there. We hear from them all the time. These are God-fearing patriots that love Americanism. And they've lived there, they planted roots, and that's where they make a living, and they decided they've got to get out. They're being driven out. So we welcome Californians here. As long as you leave California at the border of the American Redoubt, you leave it there. You don't bring it here. Okay, a couple of other stories from the American Redoubt. Alaska Airlines is now offering, they announced Thursday, it will start a direct flight between Bozeman and Portland, Oregon in June. Alaska's carrier Horizon Air will operate the seasonal flight with a 76-seat turboprop plane from June 4th to August 25th, so it's seasonal, according to an Alaska Airlines news release. Daily flights will be offered between Bozeman Yellowstone International Airport and Portland International Airport. Those of you that are commuting back and forth and working over there in the city and trying to live over in Montana. The other article is that wind farms are bought and built in central Montana. But here's the twist. A wind energy company headquartered in China said Thursday it has brought a 20-megawatt wind farm planned for central Montana. And meanwhile, a nearby 10-megawatt project has started operations. The 20-megawatt wind farm is planned near Chaumette. It's a small community about 75 miles northwest of Billings along the Muscle Shell River. It'll be built by Goldwind USA, whose Chinese parent company, Goldwind, bills itself as one of the largest wind turbine manufacturers in the world. And, of course, there's a lot of wind out there in central Montana. For those of you who've ever been around Helena, for example, Great Falls, there's a lot of wind, so there's a lot of energy to be harvested there. The bulk of our power here in the American Redoubt comes from primarily hydroelectric, so there is an abundance of power here, and then, of course, a lot of natural gas as well. So some of you who are interested in some of the sustainable energy that we have here, we have an abundance of it. In fact, we export a lot of it. Okay, we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to finish up this Como check and talk about a couple of other things that I think are important, things that you could add to your communication binder, and a couple of other resources, and an article that was done talking about James Rawls and this subculture of preppers in America. All that and more when we come back. You're listening to Radio Free Readout. Stay right there.
Are you a licensed ham operator? If so, the American Readout Movement needs your help. To support the mission of keeping the American Readout connected in a Teotihuacan situation, Radio Free Readout is working on a project to build a network of patriotic, amateur radio operators who consider themselves readouters. Your skills will be critical in rebuilding and advancing the American Readout Movement after Teotihuacan. Please email us at radiofreereadout@gmail.com to find out how you can partner with Radio Free Readout in this critical and time-sensitive project. Your input and ideas are greatly appreciated. Thank you, ham operators, for what you do.
Hi, this is Evelyn with a communication tip in a minute from Radio Free Readout. When it comes to monitoring for information using a scanner or a shortwave receiver, it's a great idea to pre-program the frequencies you'll be monitoring now. This will eliminate additional stress during an emergency situation by being able to go right to a desired frequency or set of frequencies at the push of a button. It's also a great idea to keep a printed hard copy of the frequencies next to your communications equipment with the names of the channels as well as the pre-programmed channel preset numbers. And remember to practice using your communications equipment often. This has been a public service announcement to support the CH3 Project and AMRON, the American Readout Radio Operators Network.
Benjamin Franklin said, "A nation of well-informed men who've been taught to know and prize the rights which God has given them cannot be enslaved. It is in the region of ignorance that tyranny begins." Those words are so full of wisdom. Unfortunately, to today's anti-American left, black is white and white is black. Up is down and down is up. I am informed and I know and prize my rights. Sadly, to today's socialist elite, quote, well-informed, means that you see things their way. I find it interesting that the globalist elitists of today attempt to coerce the masses, and especially the dissenters, by using control buzzwords like ignorance. If you oppose them, you are ignorant. And no one wants to be called ignorant. The implication is that they are enlightened and you are not, which makes you want to fall in line and be like them. If Mr. Franklin were alive today, he would be considered ignorant by the so-called elite. Of course, he would rebut that they are tyrants, and I would stand with Mr. Franklin. I'm Violette Sabo, with points to ponder, words to live by, and ideals which define us.
Welcome back. You're listening to the voice of the American Readout on this 22nd day of January, 2012. We're doing a Como check tonight in the tradition of keeping a consistent presence, even when we can't bring you the normal story that we were working on. Got a little bit behind, got slammed, in fact, with life and a few snowstorms thrown in. And so thank you for your patience and for your grace. Now, right before the break, I was talking about an article that was written by Jim Forsyth over at Reuters. I put a link there on the Highlights and Resources page. You can go read that for yourself. He talks about the subculture of Americans preparing for civilization's collapse. I'm always skeptical when I see these not within the prepper circles writing articles about this. Sometimes they turn into satire or something else that doesn't really benefit us. But James Rawls was quoted as saying, "The chances of a societal collapse are increasing year after year." And they quoted him, his survival blogs considered the guiding light of the prepper movement. I would agree with that. It was probably the leading survival prepper resource on the internet that I'm aware of. There's a lot of other really great ones too. And of course, we have those listed on the blog. Check those out. He says, we could see a cascade of higher interest rates, margin calls, stock market collapses, bank runs, currency revaluations, mass street protests, and riots, he told Reuters. The worst case end result would be a third world war, or mass inflation, currency collapses, and long-term power grid failures. Now, let's talk about the worst case scenario. We talk about the worst case scenario being third world war, societal, economic, political collapse, general collapse of our nation, like 20 other great empires in history have experienced. And that's what the American Redoubt is about. It's about the rebuilding after the collapse. It's thinking to a finish, thinking that all the way through. It's not just planning for the disaster, because once the disaster hits, that's just the beginning. And if you don't have a plan in place, if you don't have people of like mind willing to work toward a common goal, you are going to be at the mercy of whoever the other majority happens to be. If you don't have a plan at all, you're going to be in trouble. Look at Haiti. Here we are, what, is it 2 years or 3 years? 3 years, I think, since Haiti's earthquake that they experienced, killing tens and tens of thousands of people, if not a couple hundred thousand people. And there are people still living in tents provided by FEMA and other United Nations relief agencies, set up tents, and they boogied. So they're still living in that condition. And so what we're doing is we're planning for the after, if there is a major collapse. And that's the worst case scenario. The best case scenario would be that the American Redoubt is just simply a demographic shift where our values and our heritage can be preserved just due to the sheer numbers. And it's already happening, but it's been this gradual shift. We're trying to speed that up. We're trying to expedite that and make it purposeful. Okay, let's see. There's another thing that I put on the blog, and some links for you to follow. You can click on those, and the information there, I want to encourage you to print those out and put it in your communications binder along with some of the other stuff we've mentioned. We're going to keep revisiting this. One is the Considerate Operator's Frequency Guide. And I had a copy of this and lost it and then forgot about it until a longtime listener sent a copy of it to me. And so I was very thankful for that. But what it does is it outlines the frequency bands that each of the ham bands operate in, which could be especially helpful to you if you are operating or just monitoring ham frequencies. You know where to go to listen and where to operate, kind of where your guardrails are on your left and your right. And so that's helpful. And also, there's a shortwave radio stations targeting North America guide. And what these are shortwave radio broadcasts from around the world and even some American territories that basically point their signal toward the U.S. And this is really important because if we have an EMP collapse, EMP attack, or some type of terrorist attack that takes our grid down, hopefully you've protected and hardened your electronics, or at least some backup electronics, so that you can still monitor for information in a major collapse. And if, for example, there's an EMP attack, it could potentially snuff out all of the electronic capabilities and power sources, power generating sources in the North American continent. And so information is going to be coming from around the world, and they can skip these signals from Europe, Africa, anywhere else in the world, and bounce it right to your little radio in your living room where you can get updates and news and information that can be helpful to you. Also, there is a resource we added. Oh, by the way, Radio Free Redoubt, just as a reminder, is on the internet. It's a podcast on the internet right now. And, you know, we broadcast live right at 7 p.m. Pacific time every Sunday evening. And then we re-air that, and then we load it up to a podcast at the Podbean player. So you can listen to that throughout the week if you're on the go. Download that and put it on your computer, your iPod, your iPhone, whatever. But we are not on shortwave. We are working on some plans. There's a lot of kind of behind the scenes stuff that's going on and that's being worked on right now. But at this time, we're not on shortwave. We're working on it. Okay, so don't be looking for us out there on shortwave. We're not there yet. Okay, the other one is how to locate scanner frequencies for your local area. You click on that link, and it's got a map, an interactive map. You can click on your state and then start narrowing it down to your county, your city, and find out what all the designated frequencies are for your fire departments, your police departments, your search and rescue. And these are great sources for information. A lot of times they will also have commercial radio frequencies that are allocated to them by the FCC. So you can listen to news stations and so on and listen to those communications. And those are great sources for information in a collapse situation. Let's see here. We are basically about to wrap this up. I just want to remind you that the redoubt is growing, but I need you. You listening? Okay. I need you to spread the word. Time is of the essence. I believe that we're living on borrowed time already. And for us to succeed, we need you to spread the word. Tell your like-minded friends and family about Radio Free Redoubt, to talk about the American Redoubt concept. It's spreading. We spent some time, once I knew that I wasn't going to be able to do the EMP topic, it took a load off of me. Because I really didn't feel prepared for it in a way that would do it justice for you, because it's real important that I do a good job. In the last couple of weeks, I'm sorry, I felt off the last couple of weeks. And so I'm sorry for that. You guys, I need to make it worth your while if you're going to take the time to sit and listen to give you something useful. But so the pressure was off. We went over to some friend's house last night. We were invited over there. The guy had listened to a couple Radio Free Readout broadcasts. And you never know what people are going to think, because sometimes it's pretty radical at first. And it sounds extreme until you start really thinking about what's going on in the world. And then it doesn't seem so radical. Then you realize it is a message of hope. But you never know. And we went over there. This guy, he's a Christian. He is extremely knowledgeable and very well read. He is a patriot to the core. And we hit it off. We had such a great time. And he is so fired up about the American Redoubt movement. And wanted to get on board, wanted to help. And it's really nice because it's somebody that's close by that I can work with and interact with. And I started to develop a couple relationships like this. So, I'm not going to be completely alone here. I know I'm not alone. I know that you're out there, and I know that all of you are supportive and listen regularly, and you email me with ideas and suggestions and stuff, but it's different than when you can sit down with somebody face to face and pencil stuff out, which he said he's willing to step up and do. But I need you guys to do that on your level. I need you, and if you're trapped out there in occupied territory and you're living in an area that you see as potentially developing or could develop in the future as another redoubt, then start thinking about that role and your role in that. I've mentioned this before. But we talked about, we talked at length last night, and one thing was that they're just fearful of the fate of America, and that the redoubt gives them hope. And so that was just really encouraging. And of course, he's also very much in agreement. This can't be a casual, gradual shift. This has to be purposeful. You got to start spreading the word with like-minded people. All you got to do is just write down the website, the blog, radiofreeredoubt.blogspot.com, and give it to somebody and say, hey, take a listen to a couple of these podcasts. Tell me what you think. Just bounce it off them like that. And so, it's really exciting. Let's see. I got a couple. There's just so much going on. I'm excited. There's a lot of things happening. And one thing came up I wanted to share with you. This is real important. They've been kind of prepping for a while. This couple that I was just telling you about, But one of the things, you can see it in their eyes, they're just completely overwhelmed. It's like, I don't even know where to start. And the more I learn about prepping, the more I realize how unprepared I am. And then I start freaking out. Does that sound familiar? I mean, we all go through this. Enola Gay wrote, she's written a couple really good articles about this, just getting overwhelmed with Teotihuacan and not being prepared. And then you get to the point where you realize how, the more you learn, the more you realize how much you don't know and how, you know, behind the curve you are. Calm down. Just calm down. Okay. There are some resources that will help you with this. And just proceed knowing this. First of all, you need to rely on the Lord first and foremost before relying on what's on your in your pantry. And now I believe that the Lord has given us advanced knowledge and warning so that we could prepare. And if he didn't, I'm giving him the credit anyway. So there. Now, I believe that some very dangerous, difficult times are coming. Okay, so start with the basics, food, water, shelter. Start there. Okay. You have to have some stored up. And I recommend at least a year's worth of food. And your food storage is not the end all goal. You need to be able to produce your own food. And your food storage gets you by until you can begin producing your own food. And if you can do that right away, or you already do, and you have a bad crop, great. Then your food storage gets you through when you had a bad crop that year. Okay, food, water, shelter. Next, water. You need to store up water, but you cannot possibly store up enough water to provide for your family for 90 days. The average person can't. If you got a swimming pool in the backyard and you pull a tarp over it, great. Okay, good on you. But most of us aren't in that situation. You may have a well. That's great, as long as it doesn't get contaminated or as long as you can power the pump. But start planning on that, harvesting water. And bigger than that is purifying your own water. A Berkey water filter system or some other type of system that you can make yourself. There's plenty of YouTube videos, and I'm going to get into that in the coming weeks. And shelter. Now, your shelter includes what you're living in right now. For some people, it'd be insane to leave your home because that's your shelter and that's where your stuff is. But when you plan for shelter, that also includes oil lamps and generators and those kind of things. So all that should be included in your shelter plan. We're going to go into this in more detail, so relax. I'm just skimming this right now. Okay, but that includes your fuel, your lighting, all of that stuff. And then also you need to have a mobile shelter plan in case you cannot stay in your home. If you have to move somewhere else, if you got a safe place to go, you may have to stay over a couple nights on en route. So think about shelter, whether it's a camper or pull behind camp trailer or a tent, whatever it is. Some of you guys are into backpacking, hunting, and you have that stuff. Okay, but food, water, shelter. You got to have those three things in place. And of course, in the military is the saying, you need beans, bullets, and Band-Aids. And the bullets goes into, covers protecting that stuff from being taken by people who didn't, they decided not to plan themselves. The beans obviously covers your food and water. And Band-Aids, that's a big one. You've got to be able to be self-sufficient when it comes to medical needs, at least your basic medical needs. So start thinking about that stuff. There's some great resources out there if you want to kind of jump the gun on your own, take the initiative, and start researching that stuff. Some of you guys are already light years ahead, and I understand that. All right, just be patient, because I'm talking to the people that are just starting out, and they're feeling a little bit overwhelmed. All right, know that you are not alone, that everyone, I don't care how prepared they are, went through a phase where they went into panic mode, realizing that they are not as prepared as they think they should be. Just remember, fear is not of the Lord. Okay, so scold yourself when you start going down that road. Now, as far as prepper resources, there are several prepper resources that I've put in links on the blog on the right-hand side. Scroll down, you'll see homeschooling, raise up a child type information, ham radio and communications, and then, of course, there's prepper resources. Survival blog is at the top of the list. All right, but there are some other amazing prepper websites that you can go to. Start doing your homework, all right? Google list of lists, and this will help you get organized. Now, several of these websites, these prepper websites that I have on the blog there, have a section to help you with a list of lists. You don't even know what to start listing out. You need a list of lists, and that's a good way to start. If you can't find it, if you're pulling your hair out, just Google list of lists, all right? You can find those at survivalblog.com. Those, they have them. Survivalmom.com has great places for start for the for the beginner prepper. And like I said, we're going to do a future show on prepping. Where do I start? That's going to be the title of it. And we're probably going to do that really soon, maybe the next 2 weeks, to develop a strategy for prepping and also a strategy to avoid getting overwhelmed, because that's a big one. All right? Okay. I got to run and finish sorting through my EMP research, which I'm going to have to spend the rest of the week doing because there's so much of it, so I can get next week's episode, episode 12-4, put together. So thank you all for your letters of support and for stepping up, for joining the American Readout Network. That's only going to make the American Readout stronger. We have a big picture vision for the American Readout, but we need your input and your ideas. Okay, later this spring, we'll be asking you to step up and help if you have skill sets or backgrounds that can help. And we'll need some of you to begin transitioning from spectator to active participant. And some of you have already done that and contributed in great ways. But remember, this isn't my American Readout. This is your American Readout. Our American Readout. Okay? Now, right after the broadcast, stick around for an old-time radio episode of Cloak and Dagger. This is one of my favorites. They're stories from the OSS of World War II. Then, right after that, in about 30 minutes or so, we'll be re-airing the episode you just heard in case you missed any of it. So you all have a great week. God bless you and yours. This is John Jacob Schmidt, and you've been listening to episode 12-3, a radio check on Radio Free Readout, the voice of the American Readout. Good night.